Let's look at God's word together, shall we? I'm going to read from Mark chapter 4, verses 33 and 34. These are the final verses of today's text. They're Mark's summary after recording three parables of Jesus. We're going to consider those parables today, but let's hear the word of the Lord with reference to these parables in the ministry of Jesus. With many such parables, he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. He did not speak to them without a parable, but privately to his own disciples, he explained everything. Here's my question for you today. In all honesty, are you mostly encouraged or discouraged about life, about your future, about God's work? Are you mostly encouraged or discouraged? Well, despite the world's troubles, yes, it's real. Despite the enemy's schemes, yes, he's real. Be encouraged. Today, I'm sharing with you the truth of the kingdom. And that truth brings great encouragement when we hear it. Trust in Jesus. Shine for Jesus if you know him as king. And today we're going to consider three parables about his kingdom, which Jesus spoke to encourage believers, those who hear, who truly hear his message. Of course, if you don't believe in Jesus and you don't hear his message, there's not much to be encouraged about. But if you do hear, there's a great deal to be encouraged about, and that's what we consider today. There's much, isn't there, that we don't know. So much that we don't know. What's going to happen? What's the future look like? What's the world look like? What's this or that situation going to look like? But there are some things as believers that we do know. We know Jesus is king. We know he loves us. We know his promises are true. I suggest to you, brothers and sisters, that how you look at life will be shaped by: do you look at life from the lens of what you don't know or what you do know? Think about it. If you look at life from the lens of what you don't know, it's quite predictable what's going to happen. It's going to be fear, anxiety, seeking to control people, situation, and others, moving down a pathway of judgmentalism. Why are they not doing what they're supposed to be doing in the scheme of me controlling it all? Am I wrong? But if you look at life from the lens of what you do know, Jesus is king. My Savior has come, rescued me. I belong to him. His Spirit dwells within me. He's working in mighty ways. And whatever I face then, I can face with a sense of confidence and joy and be used by him for the purpose he has for me. It's all in. Are you looking at it from what you don't know, or are you looking at it from what you do know? Jesus is here in these parables today speaking to us about what we know in his kingdom as his followers. Jesus has just spoken the parable of the soils. We looked at this last week. And in this parable of the soils, he has stressed the responsibility for right hearing. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. What is it that we hear? We hear and receive the gospel of Jesus as Savior and King. We hear and receive in a response of believing and continuing to believe. Having repented and believed, we're then with joy continuing to follow him and looking to, as we follow him, we encounter difficulties in life, but we still continue to follow him. This is the one who produces fruit. Some people, like seeds on the path, don't give the gospel message a hearing. Some people, like seed on the thin dirt, rocky soil, start with what appears to be faith, but it's not real because it doesn't last. Some people, like seed on the thorny soil, they get so embroiled in the things of this world, the fruit is choked out and they don't bear it. But some, like seed that falls on good soil, produce fruit 30, 60, or 100-fold. We considered that last week, and it really sets up for today's message, continuing in this theme, not just that lives are kind of like that soil, but Jesus is working and constantly working despite the opposition and the difficulties. And that's what he's stressing here a lot today in these parables we're considering. He's now kind of moved into a season in his ministry, having begun this ministry, proclaiming the kingdom, the gospel that he brings, that he is Messiah and God, and these actions, actions, actions. Now he's in a short season here in teaching, primarily through parables. And Mark doesn't give a lot of space to teaching. Mark is the action gospel. But here in this section of Mark, there clearly is a Mark's section of parables. And the question is, do you hear? Do you hear the message? And this hearing is a work of God in believers. To you it has been given, the secrets of the kingdom of God. But those outside don't hear. Look with me at just a couple lines in today's text. The very first line, the very first parable, the third line says this. Same idea was earlier as Jesus was presenting the parable of the soils. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. That let him hear is an imperative. It's give attention to heed what he is saying. The word hear is used 4 times in Mark chapter 4. 10 times in Mark chapter 4. I got my numbers wrong with the chapters. 10 times in Mark 4, the word hear shows up. And this is, of course, not just that the sound waves meet your ear. It's to give attention to heed what Jesus is saying. The first verse of Mark's summary at the end, what we read, with many such parables he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. Right hearing is the thrust of today's message, and here's my message to you is, there is encouragement for those who hear. Encouragement in the kingship of Jesus, in who he is and what he brings, what his working makes possible as we embrace him as king. All of this comes into really very, very clear, encouraging terms here in these three parables we're considering today. The parable of the lamp under a basket. And some list of parables don't include it, but I'm going to make the case that, yes, indeed, it is a parable, at least a parabolic statement. The parable of the seed growing, and this parable is recorded here only in Mark of all the Gospels. It's a powerful parable. The parable of the seed growing, and then the parable of the mustard seed. You probably remember hearing that one. That's also in Matthew. Jesus teaches these three parables here, recorded in Mark 4, 21 to 32. I'm making the case that this is about encouragement for those who hear because of Jesus as king. He offers this encouragement because of the gospel influence in believers and through believers, and not only in believers and through believers, but impacting others as believers embrace the word and hear the word and impacting the world through us because he is king. We're not denying that there's hardship, opposition, and forces of darkness. That's a given. We know that. Jesus already spoken that. But we have confidence because of who Jesus is. It's not the inevitability of human progress. Seems like every time humanity thinks it's progressing with some new advancement, there's some underside of the exposure of people's depravity. No, we believe, though, in the power of the gospel. We believe in the influence of King Jesus through the gospel. We believe in the faithfulness of King Jesus to keep his promises. If you hear, be encouraged around those things. Now, this shouldn't surprise us, this idea of things, encouragement through Jesus and his working, because God has already said here in the parable of the soils that those who hear the word, accept it, and do so as they continue to follow Jesus will bear fruit. God is working like this in the lives of people and through us as we hear today. This is built upon not on some kind of naive optimism. It's built on a gospel foundation. The gospel provides the foundation. The person's understanding of the gospel and response to the gospel, and the parable of the soils is indicative of this, then predicts their understanding of other spiritual things. Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? Well, you understand the parable, you hear that gospel foundation, you continue then have more and greater understanding and more and greater influence because of that understanding. We're going to see that today. So let's just consider the parable of the lamp under a basket. I suggest Mark 4, 21 to 25 is a unit. It's a parabolic unit. And sometimes some of these verses sound like verses that show up elsewhere and people want to split them up. It's like, no, this is a unit. The entire unit should be understood around the image in verse 21. That connects to all the rest. I'm going to walk you through that. We're going to read the lines, and then we're going to drive home the point of encouragement and apply it to our hearing and our shining as the King works in us. Let's look at this section here. Here's the parabolic unit. And he said to them, "Is a lamp brought in to be put under a basket or under a bed and not on a stand? For nothing is hidden except to be made manifest, nor is anything secret except to come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear." And he said to them, "Pay attention to what you hear. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and still more will be added to you. For to the one who has, more will be given. And from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away." What's all that mean? Remember, it's best to understand this as a unit, and that all the lines relate to the image introduced in the first line. So let's consider that first line. Let's really drill down here. What is Jesus saying? He's saying to his followers, those who have accepted the message of the kingdom, to let his kingdom and the truths of his kingdom shine through them. Not to go, "Oh, okay, I've got this kingdom truth, and I'm like, I'm going to hide it here, put it under the basket." No, let it shine. The parabolic question he's asking is the main line, and he said to them, "Is a lamp brought in to be put under a basket or under a bed and not on the stand?" You think in that day they didn't have light switches or overhead lights, right? So where did you put the lamp? You put it up high so it could spread. If the power went out in your place and you wanted to get around a little bit, you wouldn't put your flashlight in the drawer. Right? You wouldn't put it under the bed, right? You wouldn't say, "Oh, I'm going to turn on my phone and I'm going to stick it." No, you take it out and let it shine. Jesus saying to us, believer, you have received the kingdom and now you are to let that kingdom light shine. Amen. For others to see. And the encouragement that you've received in that truth, you're going to get more encouragement for more shining as you continue to hear. Let's continue here, line two. Again, in context then, this should be understood that those who embrace the kingdom, the truth of the kingdom, should and will shine these truths to others so that they too will see. For nothing is hidden except to be made manifest, nor is anything secret except to come to light. Now, it is true that every secret that you speak, every secret sin that you think you've concealed, God will one day reveal that. But I don't believe that the point of this in context is that. The point of this in context is, believer, what you know, let it shine. Don't be hiding what you know. Shine what you know. Let's continue. And why do I say that? Not just verse one, not line one, but look at lines 3 and 4. It comes back to the exhortation for us to hear. If you do and how you shine, or rather, if you do and how you hear determines the extent and influence of how you shine. Can I say that again? If you hear, it will determine if you shine. The extent to which you hear will determine the extent to which you shine. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. And he said to them, pay attention to what you hear. Why? Well, the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Do you want big encouragement? Well, hear and you'll have encouragement. Do you want big impact and influence through your life? Anybody? Well, you have to hear. If you're not hearing and embracing the message and continuing to align yourself with the message of King Jesus, you're not going to have big influence. Now, that phrase, the measure you use, it will be measured to you, is an interesting phrase. It's used by Jesus 3 different times. And it's applied by Jesus to 3 very different issues. It's applied here to the issue of understanding. You understand a little, you're going to influence a little, shine a little, be encouraged a little. You understand a lot, you're going to influence a lot, shine a lot, impact a lot. Jesus also applies this to generosity. That's not the point here, but the same point. If you're cheap, you're not going to get blessed. If you're generous, you will. Just reality, spiritual reality. That's in Luke chapter 6. Jesus also applies this to judgment. If you're nailing everybody with a big judgment, a large measure of judgment, guess what? You're getting judged. It's coming back at you. So this spiritual principle here, though, applies to the issue of understanding and hearing. What kind of impact and light and understanding for others and blessing for others and encouragement through you to others do you want? I hope you say, oh man, I want a big bunch of that. Okay, then here. Now line 5 says, God gives more understanding to those who use what they have and embrace it, and he gives less if we resist him. Please go back to the same point, right? God, I don't want to hear. Then less. And the more you harden, less. The one who has, more will be given. You say, God, I want to hear. Then you're going to get more. But the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. So it all depends on how you hear. Now, I hope you're hearing this, although there's a sense of exhortation to you, right? It's driving home that, wow, my hearing and heeding what Jesus says is really important. But I hope you're encouraged by that, because as a believer, you do hear. You do hear. So let's apply this to our hearing, and let's apply it to our shining. And by hearing, of course, I mean repenting and turning to Jesus, believing in Jesus, joyfully continuing in Jesus, trusting and obeying Jesus, following after Jesus, letting him direct the show as you align yourself with King Jesus, your Savior, and you're being led by his Spirit in gospel proclamation. That's what hearing is. So let's consider the main line, encouragement to believers to let the kingdom light shine through us. Let's just come back to this hearing thing once again. Shine so that others will see. You want that? Well, then you got to continue to hear. Is a lamp brought in to put under a basket or under a bed and not on a stand? Of course not. We want our life to be that. We want people in a family and relationships, influence, then we have to hear. So I've come today with two different measures. I got approval from Lori for this. So here's a nice little measure. And some may say, hey, I'm okay, Jesus, if I just get a little bit of you and a tiny bit of the influence of the word, just enough that I can sort of hang on and maybe just help me with my stuff a little bit, right? And the problem with that is when it comes to influence, it's little. Impact, it's very puny because of your resistance to hearing, right? Some, like, Jesus, I want big. I mean, I could have brought a bigger one, but I maybe wouldn't fit in under the pulpit. But I just want to hear everything. I want to align with what you have and who you are and your greatness and power and your promises and your truth. I want it. And guess what's going to happen? God's going to be using you, encouraging you, and working through you to encourage others as you hear. It all hangs on, do you want to hear a little bit or do you want to hear a lot? What measure do you want for your kingdom encouragement and impact? Little or large? With the measure you use, will be measured to you. Pay attention to what you hear. Interesting, Luke's version of this says how you hear. It's both. It's what you hear, the truth of Jesus, but it's how you hear that you're embracing with receptive willingness, alignment, and seeking to follow after him. Let's look at the next parable. There's more encouragement here for those who hear. It's the parable of the seed growing. This parable encourages us. This is a powerful encouragement. It's that God is working to bring kingdom fruit in ways we often don't notice. He's producing kingdom fruit slowly. Now, I know there's places in the Bible, and I don't discount the reality today, that things happen quickly. God breaking through. But a lot of times people want to live around just breakthroughs and big wow moments. And yes, there's a wow moment of conversion and receiving the Holy Spirit, and God can do great and amazing things. But as I read my Bible, and this parable reinforces it, most kingdom impact happens slowly and happens in the day-to-day of just trusting Jesus and aligning with him as king. That's what this next parable is saying, I believe. God graciously gives believers entrance into the kingdom. That's kingdom inaugurated, Jesus' first coming, culminated his second. And here's what the parable about this seed growing is. It's about the kingdom. And he said to them, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. It's a different parable than the parable of the soils. Jesus is making a different point here. And of course, the kingdom is the dynamic reign or rule of God in Jesus brought near as he has come as Messiah, this Messiah who went to the cross for us. And if you want to enter this kingdom, you enter it through a humble trust in Jesus where you receive him as king. We're on the inside now of having received him as king. My reading, I came across this wonderful illustration of the kingdom and entering into it, and it was the illustration of the stained glass on a cathedral. You ever think of this? If you look at the stained glass in the cathedral from outside the cathedral, it's just dark glass, right? Like, that's kind of ugly, right? But if you go inside the cathedral and the light is shining, it's like, wow, look at that. It's beautiful, right? So the non-believer looks at the kingdom and says, that's kind of just stained glass. You know, it's just kind of there. It's kind of dark and not really that much. And it's Jesus stuff, whatever. But the believer from the inside who's entered into the kingdom and knows Jesus is king sees, wow, there's a beauty here of what Jesus is and what he brings. This Jesus is speaking to those who've experienced that and what the kingdom is like for those who know him. And here's the reality as this parable unfolds. There's unseen germination of the seeds in the field where the gospel message is sown. And that's the point. He sleeps. This man sleeps and rises night and day. And guess what? The seed sprouts and grows. This is the kingdom. God is working. Continued progress in this field. Let's continue. The earth produces by itself There is great spiritual impact, spiritual growth, as the unseen work of God's grace is working. There are responsibilities that we have, yes, right? We need to hear, we need to believe, we need to act in obedience, but it's not manufactured by human effort. God does it. He's working. And the earth produces first the blade and then the ear and then the full corn shall appear. That was an old hymn pulled out of this text, right? But how is this happening? Because God is working. And remember the song Waymaker? We sing that from time to time. Promise keeper, light in the darkness, that is who you are. And it's got this wonderful line. It's like, oh, that's exactly this. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. The King is always working. As we hear and embrace the truth of who he is, we're a part of that. We're aligning with that. We're advancing that. This often quiet kingdom influence and impact is a reality that's happening. And it continues until Jesus returns in power. I've had this experience before, and every time it happens to me, it sort of knocks me back, but it reminds me of God. And it's this. Some believer I'm aware of or in relationship with, I don't see them for several years. And then I see them again several years later. And I can always tell what's been happening. And it's just such a blessing when I see this, because they've put in the time in prayer, in the word, in fellowship, in worship, in connecting in small groups, in serving in ministry, and being a part of relationships that are healthy. I look at them and I say, wow, yeah, like what happened to you? You're so much further along in your journey than when I saw you before. And what happened is the kingdom, the quiet influence of the kingdom. And this reality of kingdom working is happening until the culmination of this age, until Jesus comes back, until Jesus gathers believers and brings judgment on non-believers. Until that day, he's always working. And of course, that growth is contingent upon, are we hearing? Are we listening? Are we embracing? Let's talk about application. I think this is so important. Let's apply it to ministry situations. You ever been in a ministry situation, just seemed like nothing was happening? You know, down there with the kids, working with the youth group, in the small group, some other place, some other believer you're working with. And it's like, it doesn't seem like anything's happening. And yet something is happening. God is working. And when people are hearing, that's the prayer. That we would hear and embrace, and that they would hear and embrace. Whenever people are hearing, I guarantee you, stuff's happening. It may be slow, though. It may be unseen. But Jesus is encouraging us here by this parable to say God is working, God is bringing fruit for his kingdom over time in ways we don't often even notice. I want to talk about people and their growth specifically. If you're working with somebody, a new believer, you may wonder, well, you know, two steps forward, step and a half back, two steps forward, step and a half back. What's happening? Is there any progress? And I would say yes, if they are embracing the word, even though it seems slow, they're making progress. Why? How do I know that? Because this parable says it. The king is working. I want to speak to Christian parents and the process of Christian nurture of children. And you sometimes parents go, man, like, oh, man, this is like, what's it going to take, right? Well, of all the 10,000 different things that you would be doing, the things that are most important are where you take in the word and they take in the word. And when you are taking in the word and helping them to take in the word, I assure you, God is working, and there will be spiritual progress over time. And that's what we got to aim for as parents, as a church community, as those who would encourage and come alongside Christian parents. Even if spiritual progress seems super slow, the parable of the seed growing tells us God is working. Hear the word. Let's talk about the parable of the mustard seed, the final of the three. This parable uses the tiny mustard seed to illustrate the expansion of God's kingdom, that the kingdom expands. God's work is growing. Let's hear the parable here, very similar to what's presented in Matthew 13. And he said, "With what can we compare the kingdom of God, or what parable shall we use for it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which when sown in the ground is the smallest of all seeds on the earth." In that day, the mustard seed was proverbial of what small was. When Jesus was talking about a very little bitty tiny faith, he compared it to faith as a mustard seed. So it's so very, very, very small, and yet the result is something large when planted in the ground. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes larger than all the garden plants and puts out large branches so the birds of the air can come and make nests in its shade. This plant, large plant, grows up from a tiny, tiny seed. Jesus says, that's the kingdom. That's what the kingdom is like. This parable uses that seed to illustrate the expansion of the kingdom. Let's speak about this for our encouragement. Think about it historically and think about it situationally. Historically, the reality was Jesus and his followers were a tiny, tiny group, right? I mean, all the people of power were rejecting them. And yet, as Jesus went to the cross, rose triumphant from death, poured out his spirit, that group grew and grew and grew and grew, and today, it's a worldwide movement, and Jesus commanded us to take that message to the world. How did that happen? It's like a mustard seed. That's what the kingdom is like, Jesus and his working and power. Now, I want to ask you to think about it situationally. As you look at your family, or the number of Christians at your job, or the influence of Christ at your school, or the impact that the gospel seems to be having in the world, sometimes you say, "Oh, it's tiny. Come on, it's small." Yeah, but remember the parable of the mustard seed, right? That truth of the gospel, the power of King Jesus planted into that family, job, school, and world, right? There's an expansive work that Jesus is doing. That's what he's saying. Be encouraged. That's what he does as we hear and embrace the word. Think of ministry, church, or even your influence. There's a power of the mustard seed principle, which is the gospel spreading and influencing. Does anybody have any family messes? Come on now. Almost all of us do, right? So-and-so is not talking to so-and-so and this and that. And oh my goodness, I can't believe they're just recycling the same old thing. You know how it all goes, right? And you might say, "Oh man, I'm discouraged." I say, wait a second. Hold on to the gospel. Represent Jesus. Humbly embrace what he wants you to learn and apply it in ways he wants you to grow. And then watch him work just like the mustard seed. That's what the kingdom is like. I hope you're encouraged. What's the response? It all hangs on hearing, doesn't it? Hearing the gospel, receiving Jesus as king, the one who died for your forgiveness and your forever life. You got to start there. If you haven't embraced him, then you really can't be encouraged as these parables offer it. The gospel of what Jesus taught, who Jesus is, what he proclaimed, what we proclaim is that we accept the message, the good news of life and forgiveness in him. Today, receive that if you haven't yet received that. Mark chapter 1, verse 14. Jesus was proclaiming the gospel. Everything he did here is a proclaiming of that gospel, and everything we do points to that same great message. And of course, the culminating event of Jesus giving himself for us, we celebrate on Good Friday. I invite you to join with us. If you haven't yet believe that he died so that you could be forgiven. He came to give his life as a ransom for many. My prayer is that you are among those that embrace that great truth. Now here, as we close, I want to come back to this hearing. I want us to be clear about what is right hearing. Because it all hangs on right hearing, right? All this encouragement hangs on right hearing. Right hearing is a continuing heart posture toward Jesus and the truth of the kingdom that is in him and his word, right? Right hearing is saying, I embrace it, I align with it, I submit to it, I hold on to it, I trust him, I'm allowing him to mold me and shape me. Right hearing is the focus here. Who has ears, let him hear, as many as were able to hear it. So what's the measure you want? Embrace the large measure, okay? Embrace the large measure of hearing what God brings so that you can give a large measure of encouragement and impact. Pay attention to what you hear. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Can I identify 7 ways? And I'm asking you to look at these 7 and pick one that is most needed for you. What right hearing includes. Of course, he begins with a soft heart. Lord, I want what you have for me. I open myself to you. I'm curious to hear and receive and learn. Then it's an open attitude. I'm ready to receive the word. I'm not closed to it. I'm not saying I only want a little bit. I want it. And then there's a hungry desire to follow Jesus, to follow your king. Jesus, I want to know and follow you more. I'm hungry. And then a humble willingness. What you call me to do, I'm willing to do. I'm going to do what you say. And then joyful thanksgiving. God, you've given me grace. I'm praising you. I'm thankful. I'm living this reality. And then a dependent trust on God, to be willing to take risk outside your comfort zone because you know you can rely on him. He's giving you encouragement, guiding you, and strengthening you in it. And then an eagerness to be used as the Holy Spirit works. I'm hearing with a big measure so that I can be spreading with a big measure as God's Spirit used me. And I'm prayerfully concerned that others also hear. I'm wanting others to meet Jesus. If you've truly met Jesus and are hearing what he's saying to you, of course you want others to meet him and are praying for others and proclaiming to others. I want you to look at that list of 7 and identify which one is most needed for you as you hear. You got the one? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you. Thank you for who you are as King and Savior. Thank you that you came for us. Thank you you brought the kingdom and this kingdom inaugurated in your coming and which will be culminated at your second coming. This kingdom that you opened the way for us to have a personal relationship with the living God now and forever, victory over sin and death because of his victory. Lord Jesus, I pray that truth of your kingship, God, we would embrace more and more as we hear the word and do so with a large measure. God, thank you for the encouragement that you're going to pour out through that on us and through us and impact on us and through us because of who you are as King. So we surrender to you in all these ways of right hearing. We rejoice in you. We trust in you. We align with you. We're hungry for you. Jesus, we look to you. We praise you. You are our King. Guide us, and thank you that you will. Empower us, and thank you that you will. Use us, and thank you that you will. Lord, may your kingdom spread and more more and more people embrace you as King. This is our prayer. This is our confidence in you. We need you, Jesus, in everything. And we pray in your name. Amen.